Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You are listening once again to The Restaurant Guys. I am Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and also reach us through our newly refurbished website, www.restaurantguysradio.com. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
Have you got a little pepper going this morning, Mark?
Yeah, we got up early. We're on Jack's show this morning.
We're on Jack Ellery's show this morning. And we have a wonderful guest coming up on our show later. We have Marion Esposito.
From Ciao Italia.
From Ciao Italia.
PBS show.
Ciao, bello.
Ciao.
Yeah, Italian. Speak Italian. That's it. So we have Marion Esposito going to come and join us right after the break. We also have coming up on Thursday's show, we have Charlie Trotter, one of the most renowned chefs in America, going to join us on Thursday.
Very pleased about having me.
Wednesday, we have Ansley Cole joining us, who is the proprietor of a spiritus company in California called Germain Robin.
Finest brandies in the whole country.
Finest brandies produced in America, absolutely. Also makes some fine vodka. And on Friday, we have a woman named Laura Fleming, who's from an Alaskan council that promotes wild seafood, to talk about the very controversial article on the front page of this Sunday's New York Times, which talked about six of eight fish that the New York Times bought as wild salmon in and around the New York area, tested to be farmed salmon.
So you mean the controversial subject of people stealing money from the people?
Fish fraud is what it is. We have the fish fraud file, which we're going to go on to, and we'll have a woman from the Alaskan Council on Wild Fish who will talk to us on Friday. So big week coming up.
This is the week. We're in the middle of it. It's not coming up. You're listening to the big week.
Well, we have. You're right, we are. Well, we have, coming up after the break, we have Marion Esposito, who is an expert in Italian food, who has a great cooking show, and actually does a lot of lectures, and you'll hear is a big voice for Italian food in America, but also knows a lot about Italian history. And your family is Italian, and I've had many Brooklyn Italian dinners with your family.
Yes, you have.
But I was struck by a quote, which I'd like to read to begin today. And now a reading from the Star Ledger. This article was in last week's Star Ledger. And the Ledger quoted an article by Suzanne Zimmer-Lauer, and she said renowned filmmaker Federico Fellini once said, "Life is a combination of magic and pasta." And then went on to say, "The simple form of sustenance, combined flour and liquid, has fueled countless generations as a perfect backdrop for almost any type of food, be it sauce, cheese, meat, poultry, fish, or vegetables. If you can boil water, you're well on your way to a satisfying pasta dinner. It's fast, it's filling, it's readily available, and with a little common sense, it can be the perfect food to serve any number of people. And I will add, it is also integral to our history."
Let's go with integral.
Integral to our history.
How's that?
All right, then.
I'm just glad that everybody's back to eating macaroni again.
Oh, my goodness.
I missed it.
Macaroni, Brooklyn boy. Yeah, I'm glad they're back here, too.
I missed it. I mean, this whole Atkins, South Beach, zone, carbs are bad, carbs are killing you thing. No more fruit, no vegetables. Can't have a banana. It's too high in carbs. It just didn't make sense.
You know what's really bizarre about this whole low-carb thing? Is that, you know, it's sort of like the whole population in an era mirrored what people who have an unhealthy relationship with food do, which is to binge and swing and have no moderation.
But what were you gonna? I mean, I myself went on Atkins for a little while. You know, you have all your friends dropping 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds on
this
diet.
Yeah, but then dropping dead on the floor and having to be taken to the hospital.
That's one of the things that I think. Well, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. I did the Atkins thing. I did it three different times, and each time about 10 to 12 weeks. And the first time I went on it, I guess I lost about 25 pounds or so. And I was on it for about 10 to 12 weeks. And at about 10 weeks, I really started to feel lousy. You know, and everybody's like, "Oh, you lost 25 pounds, you feel better." I'm like, "No, I actually feel worse.
I get winded walking up the stairs.
You know, I actually feel worse. You know, my clothes fit me better, but I feel worse." And so I went off the diet, and I put on about 10 of the 25 that I lost. And, you know, I guess about 6 months went on, and I said, "You know what? I put on about 10 of those 25 that I lost," and I went back on the diet again. And again, I lost about 20, so I was now maybe 35 altogether. And I said, you know, again, at about 8-10 weeks right in there this time, I started to feel lousy again. And I finally said, you know, I believe it was my wife who begged me to go get off the diet.
So let's see, you ate sausage and whipped cream for 10 weeks, and then you felt lousy. I wonder why that happened. Strange. Anyway.
And no fruit or vegetables. And,
exactly. Well, if you take a step back and look at it, societally, over from the 90s to 2005, we as a society did what people who have an unhealthy relationship with food do, which is we went low-fat, everything has to be low-fat, no-fat in the 90s, which is very hard to stick to such an austere, Spartan regimen.
It's an unreasonable diet.
And then we were told, okay, eat all the fat you want and don't have any lettuce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah.
It's unhealthy. I mean, as a society, we mirrored what people did overall. And when Marianne comes on the show, we're going to talk about the kind of food you grew up with.
Sure.
And the kind of food that, if I weren't Irish, I would have grown up with. But
the kind of food you grew up with when you were in your 20s and you met me.
No, when I grew up in a town that was Irish and Italian. Your thing you'd do at night was to get invited over to your Italian friend's house for dinner. And that
you're
was
still doing that, aren't you?
I know I am. But I learned how to cook for my
20 years friend. Later, I haven't given up on that one.
But the point of it is, whether it's Italian food or whatever ethnic food, most traditions of food provide for a balance of foods and a balanced life.
Right.
And that's what we've sort of gotten away from. And with this great abundance that we have in America, you know, if you eat a big pasta dinner and that's your meal for the day, that's not bad. But if you eat a big pasta dinner, but then you have a bit of, you know, 4 Pop-Tarts for breakfast and 2 candy bars in the afternoon, well, all of a sudden you're not in balance anymore.
We're Americans. If it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of the things we strive for in our restaurant is to have a balanced is a balanced offering of food. And I remember reading in the 80s when we first got into this business that when they were talking about how restaurant meals were becoming a higher and higher percentage of what people eat.
Mm-hmm.
And someone very wisely wrote, and I can't remember what article it was in, but they said, we'll know that restaurants have really come to be a significant part of the American diet when you see vegetables served in restaurants.
Right.
And what do you see now?
Right.
Vegetables. I mean, we go to the green market, and the vegetables are seasonal whenever we can. But we have to provide because people do eat out 5 nights a week and 6 nights a week.
Well, you
have to have your vegetables.
You know, that is a reflection of our society, though. You now have 2 parents working, you know, full-time. You get home at 6 o'clock. You gather the kids. You try and spend as much time getting their homework done or taking them off to soccer practice doing whatever. Yeah,
Mark, I live alone in an apartment in Jersey City. I go out whenever I want.
You do it for fun. Most people do it for necessity.
I know. Isn't it great to be me? I'm very happy about
that. I've often said it's great to be you. You get to be partners with me.
I have trouble keeping my plants alive. Never mind you with your 4 kids. But the whole thing is balance. And we're going to be talking more about that and ethnic cuisine with this very intelligent woman, Marianne Esposito, who knows all about Italian food, the American food scene, and Italian history as well. So we hope you stay with us over the break. Don't you dare touch that dial. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
You're back with The Restaurant Guys, Francis Schott and Mark Pascal. We are here every day from 11 a.m. to noon, and today we have a very special guest with us. And by way of introduction, just to let you know, if you don't know, and I'm sure that many of you do know who she is, it's a complex sentence. We have Marianne Esposito about to join us. Marianne Esposito is host of a PBS program called Ciao Italia, which you should all watch. And she's one of America's most loved television chef programs. And an evening with Marianne is the next best thing to being in Italy. Her family's Italian. She holds an MA in Italian history and is author of 8 cookbooks and teaches in culinary schools throughout Italy. Marianne, hello.
Well, ciao, you guys. I'm having a chuckle just listening to the two of you.
Ciao, Marianne.
Are you Francesco and Marco today?
Yes.
Let's make it real Italian.
You know, well, Mark can do that. I really can't. I'm his little Irish sidekick.
Well, that's okay. We'll make you Italian today.
There's always a place at the table, right?
And on right.
And on St. Patrick's Day, Marianne, you can be Irish as well.
Thank you.
So, Marianne, I have to tell you, you got one of the greatest compliments from my mom, obviously, and my mom is my favorite cook.
Well,
but
she should be, definitely.
You got one of the greatest compliments you possibly could have gotten from my mother. She said, I told her you were going to be on a show, and she said, ooh, I like her. She makes real food. Not like that Emeril. He just makes a mess.
Uh-oh. Well,
bam.
Your mom for me.
Bam.
I promise I will. Yeah.
Well, actually, I was tempted to say, I didn't want to interrupt, but when Mark said it and his mom was his favorite cook, I was going to say, you're such a good boy. But,
you would have to pinch my cheeks and you're too far away.
But, you know, it's funny. We are, Marianne, actually opening. We run an American fine dining restaurant now. That's.
I know all about you because I was just in Madison and Chatham, and I was in my hotel room reading about Stage Left, your
nice.
Wine list, and Zagat's review of your restaurants. I know all about you people.
You do your homework, Marianne.
She's on the pulse.
Well, we're opening a second restaurant called Catherine Lombardi's, which is named after Marsh's grandmother.
Yes.
And so what we've done is we have spent the last, year gathering.
I was going to say the last 40 years of my life.
Right, but we spent the last year consolidating all of Mark's family's recipes and, you know, testing them and changing them for commercial kitchen and all that stuff, not changing them too much.
Mm-hmm.
But in a couple of the recipes of the files that we've gotten from Mark's mom and his aunt, what does it say?
Well, I'm going through the recipes, and my mother's very meticulous about where a recipe comes from. So, you know, this one comes from your godmother, this one comes from, you know, grandma's uncle, this one comes from wherever. And I'm reading through, and a capon. This one comes from Marianne Esposito. You made the Pascal family recipe file.
You're not related to him.
Yes, this is capon is what you eat at Thanksgiving. Never mind turkey. Who would in an Italian family would eat turkey when you can have capon? I mean, if you've never roasted a capon, you don't know what you're in for. Turkey is so common. It's so dry. It's, you know, so overdone. But capon is moist, delicious, and really for your listeners out there, and you too, you should probably add it to your menu and also try it next Thanksgiving.
Really
well,
delicious.
We're going to add your recipe because that's what Mark got in the book. You can count on it.
Well, now, what part of Italy is your family?
Mostly from around the Naples area.
Okay, so you and I are cousins.
Yes.
All right. Siamo cugini, si.
Well, Marianne, we have to ask you. Now, we have started this radio show. We've only been doing it for about 2 months now, and we're having a ton of fun with it. You've been doing this for 16 years?
Yes, we're actually going to begin production for our 16th season in just a few weeks. But
that's
I'll tell you, it takes all year just to plan.
That's a lot of material, Marianne.
A lot of material, but, you know, think about it. Italy is a country that has a huge, huge repertoire of regional foods, and in a lifetime, you could really never cover it all.
So. Marianne, you have a number of books out that people can easily find by, and we're going to put some links up on our website later on, which is restaurantguysradio.com, where you can find some of Marianne's books, and we can recommend some titles, and we'll maybe even put, if with your permission, we'll put up that capone recipe, if that's all right with you. But where should people go? Do you have a main website where people can go find out about you?
We have a website. It's just chowitalia.com, and they can get all the recipes that we've ever done on the last 15 years of shows. You can find out how to put in an Italian garden, where to get Italian seeds. You can go to our wine page with a very knowledgeable wine expert, Tony Ventura, who showcases wines from all the various regions of Italy. You can get all kinds of tips. You can travel to Italy with me. You can find out how to do that. So there's all kinds of information on ciaoitalia.com.
So you actually do trips where you bring people with you to Italy?
I take people with me, and I put them in a cooking school with me so that they're doing hands-on cooking classes. But I don't like to take 40 people to
Right.
Italy. I like to take a dozen so that they can get a real hands-on experience. And we begin in the markets of Italy, where this stuff comes from, or we take them to a farm, or we take them to a panificio or a casaficio. We show them how cheese is made or how pasta is made, and then return them to the classroom, and they're working with all of the indigenous ingredients from that particular region. It's really a lot of fun.
That's really amazing. Now, if anybody's listening, you just heard Marianne Esposito say you can go with a dozen people and her to Italy and learn about food in Italy. Listen, I may go. Mark will give me off.
When's the next trip?
Up because this year's trip is to Puglia, which, as you boys know, is the heel of Italy.
Yes.
And that trip is full, but the next one is going to Sicily next September. So you can find out about that just going on the website.
And actually, Sicily has a really what's going on in the food scene in Sicily right now is it's better now than it's ever been. Isn't that correct?
It's better now than it's ever been because, of course, transportation has improved in Sicily. Food has traveled from the mainland to Sicily and from Sicily to the mainland. There's much more of an awareness. There are a lot more travelers going to Sicily today. So, you know, the Sicilians got the message, you know, we've got to beef up the restaurants. We've got to beef up the hotels, and there are lots of interest in Italian or Sicilian cooking, so that there are cooking schools that you can go to in Sicily. Because remember, Sicily holds the key. Sicily holds the key to all of Italian cooking, if we can say there is such a thing as Italian cooking.
Why does Sicily hold the key?
Sicily holds the key because, of course, this was the port of entry where all of these invading countries came first. They settled Sicily. Sicily was the breadbasket, for instance, for the Roman army. This is where they went for the wheat fields before Sicily became a very arid country. All the trees were felled, and it became very arid. But before that, this is where most of the wheat came from, and Sicily was known as the breadbasket of Italy. So from Sicily, they then went to the mainland.
Wow. We're going to talk more about this after a short break. For those of you who just tuned in, don't turn that dial. We're talking to Marianne Esposito, a noted author and very famous chef and expert on Italian food in general. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 1125.